Well, tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. We're beginning a new series this evening. So thank you for being here. I trust that these wonderful lessons from the Lord will be a help and a blessing. I'm looking forward to learning a lot as well. And we'll enjoy them together. Amen. This Wednesday night series will be focusing on the parables. And tonight, appropriately, we'll be beginning with Matthew chapter number 7. And let's look at verses 24 to 29. Not all the verses are in your notes, so look with me in your Bibles there. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 to 29. And let's read these verses and then we'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 to 29. The Lord says in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can have your word in our hands this evening. And Lord, it is a precious treasure. And Lord, we thank you that we can, Lord, open our hearts at this time to your word. Lord, we commit to you, Lord, this evening. We commit to you, Lord, this series as we study the parables, Lord. As we study these wonderful, Lord, life lessons that you have not only given to the people of the day in which they were written, Lord, but to us personally as your people. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that you would strengthen us in your word and truth. And may the Holy Spirit of God apply the truth, the truths in your word that you'd have us to see this evening. And Lord, change our lives, we pray, as a result. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Now, just by introduction regarding the parables, nearly one-third of the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings are given to us in parables. So how many of us understand tonight that it's important for us to understand those parables? And yet so often, and I use myself as an example, we read them and sometimes we don't know exactly what is the Lord talking about and who is he talking to and when will this happen? Is this a prophecy or is this to the Jews or is this for us? And we need to understand the parables and not just skip over them. Now, this year's theme is based upon a prophetic a statement, "The time is at hand." And lots of these parables contain prophecies. So a wonderful, relevant subject for us to look at. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all contain the parables within the Word of God. And we need to remember that parables are not fables. Parables are not made-up stories. You know, there are fables in the world today. Aesop's fables, for example. They're made-up stories that illustrate perhaps a moral idea or a good a truth, but you see, the Lord Jesus Christ's parables are based upon real life truths, real situations that exist in real life. The word parable means to cast alongside. That's what the word parable means, to cast alongside. So basically, a parable is a spiritual story that is cast alongside a spiritual truth to help us to understand that truth. And in every parable, what we're looking for is the one main great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Of course, there are many applications, but in every parable, there is one main truth that the Lord is teaching. And that's something that we will continue to bring up as we look through these parables. And as we study them, we will see that that these parables contain truths that are so necessary for our lives. We're in big trouble if we skip over them, if we don't understand what the Lord is saying. And indeed, these are the greatest stories ever told. You can read about biographies, you can buy a book about World War II, you can learn about history, but my friends, nothing will beat the very words of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Word of God and its need, our need for it in our lives. So tonight we're looking at the hearers and the doers here in Matthew chapter 7. Let's get straight into it, amen? The hearers and the doers. First of all, I just want us to look at the person teaching. The person teaching. And this is a good little introduction to our series. Your first blank in your notes is the word person. The person teaching. Notice who it is that is teaching these parables. Verses 28 to 29 conclude by saying, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished." Now they weren't just listening to anyone speaking. They were absolutely marveling at the words that came out of the lips of this so-called Jesus of Nazareth. These weren't words that they had heard before. These were something different. These weren't words, as verse 29 says, as the scribes taught. You see, the religious Jews of the day taught very differently. They taught from the perspective of their religious traditions. They taught from the perspective of their religious rule books and often interpreted the Word of God through their traditions, the traditions of man, the traditions of religion that did not change anyone's lives. Oftentimes they were just dull. And there were dreary messages that were given because they were religious. They did not have a relationship with the one true God. Most of the Pharisees, most of the Jews were simply religious and their messages were dull. Obviously, we can see that tonight because the people were astonished. They were absolutely astonished when they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was Christ's word so different? Why are his words so different to us and important for us this evening? Why? Because Christ spoke with authority. Why? Because he is God in the flesh, amen? He is God himself. And as we read these parables, as we study them, let me encourage you to be excited because we are reading the words from the very lips of our Savior himself. If you have a red letter Bible, it should be these verses written in red this evening in your Bibles. Of course, every word in the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, is the Word of God. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But there is something special about reading the very words of Christ. Amen. And this is what these parables are. Christ spoke with authority. And you know, many people in the day, in this day, Christ spoke these parables, we will see were listening, but they rejected what he said. And we'll see that many of them heard what he said, but they rejected it. And so often we can look at them, we can look at the Pharisees that the Lord was speaking to and addressing and how they rejected his word. And oftentimes we criticize them for doing so, but we need to be careful not to be hypocrites, don't we? Because we have the words of Christ. We have the parables of Christ. The question is, are we willing to receive them? Are we willing to hear them as if we were together tonight sitting at the feet of Christ? Listen, this is an exciting series, amen. Let me encourage you to keep coming. Let me encourage you to say, yes, I need to know what the Lord says for my life. I need to know what his lips have spoken of and that are recorded in the eternal Word of God. Let that take your attention and revive your heart for the Word of God. The person teaching is our Lord, amen. Secondly, notice the principle taught. What is the main principle we learn of in this parable? Roman numeral number 2, the word is principle. Notice verse 24, the Lord says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So the Lord gives a very simple story, an illustration of two men who built. Now, one is a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The other one is a foolish man that built his house upon sand. Now, notice that everyone is building in the story. the wise man is building and the foolish man is building. And we could say every single person on this earth is building something. They're building a life. They're building habits. They're building lives. But not everyone is building on the right foundation. Now notice also, both of them will have to face the storms. Both of them will have to face the rain, the floods, the wind that beat upon the house. And if you're facing trials this evening, let me encourage you and be comforted by the fact that that everyone will face trials. Sometimes we get saved, we think the trials will end. But in fact, they continue, do they not? Both of them will face the fierce storms. But only one of these houses stood strong and the other fell. Now, what is the one main lesson? Why did the first house stand and the other fall? Well, it was founded, it was built upon a rock. All right, then we need to ask the question, what is that rock? Now, the first thing that probably comes to mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures continue to tell us that Christ is the rock of our salvation. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the fact that He is the living stone, amen? He is the rock. He is the rock of ages. We sing wonderful hymns about Christ being the rock. And absolutely that is true. And all obedience to God begins by trusting Christ the Savior. First of all, that needs to be set in place. That needs to be in our lives for sure, that He is our Savior. We have trusted Him personally as our Savior. We know our sins are fully forgiven and we have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd like to point out, not to contradict what I've just said, Christ is the rock, but the context of this parable is not on salvation. It includes salvation, but it is not on salvation. Notice what Christ says. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The rock that Christ is talking about is doing the Word of God, living according to the Word of God. That is the one main truth here in this parable. Christ is saying, if you build your life upon the Word of God, and you can only do that if you're saved, amen? But if you live your life according to the Word of God, you will stand and you will not fall. The doer of the Word is like the house on the rock. Now, when I came to Cairns for the first time, Pastor Buddy was kind enough to take me around and show me a little bit of the town. And it was my first trip to Cairns, and he had probably already decided that we were moving up here, and he started to show me different suburbs to live in and suggesting ideas. He took me to Clifton Beach, and, you know, from living in Sydney, there is no way, unless you're a millionaire, that you can live in a house. You can live in a shoebox apartment maybe near the beach, but to live in a house near the beach, you need to be a millionaire. And you know, we pulled up outside of these, you know, these suburbs and the beachfront area, and I thought, wow, what a paradise. This is amazing. You know, the ocean, the blue ocean of Cairns is beautiful, isn't it? And I began to think, I thought, I wonder where, if the Lord brought us up here, where we would live. And most people in Sydney are so keen to live somewhere where they can see some open space, you know, where they don't see anything but concrete out their window. And you know, that took my attention. But as I learned a little bit about Cairns, I learned a little bit about something called cyclone season. And I thought to myself, well, it might be nice to live right on the beach. It might be nice to have an ocean view. But, you know, when the wind falls, when the rain falls and the wind blows, And the floods come up, that may not be the best place to live, amen? Especially if you've not lived in Cairns before. Now imagine if someone built their house upon the sand on the beach, at Clifton Beach, for example, or Holloway's Beach. Imagine if they built their house on the sand. Let me guarantee you, for a little while, the view would be absolutely spectacular, amen? At this time of year it would. Absolutely. Build your house right there and you'll enjoy some beautiful scenery. It will be beautiful for a while, but only for a while. Because you see, when the storm comes, and sooner or later it will, that house would fall. In fact, great was the fall of it. Disaster will strike. And you see, that is what happens when you and I as Christians don't build our lives upon the Word of God. That's the lesson that Christ has given. Yes, you know, we can read this and say, you know, people are trying to work their way to heaven. They're building on the wrong foundation. Yes, that is true. But for us as Christians, we understand what Christ is saying. He's saying, yes, you need to be saved. But this is a lifetime to live right here on this planet Earth. We have a lifetime to live. Our home is sure in heaven, but we're still building something, are we not? We're still building a life, and our life needs to be built on the Word of God. If we do not build our lives on God's Word, you know what Christ is saying? We are headed for disaster. We are headed, as Christians, not talking about the unsaved this evening, as Christians, we are headed for disaster. And that is the principle that is taught. Thirdly, notice the promise to you and to me, amen. The promise to you. In your third blank, the word is promise. Christ said in verse number 25, what did he say? What is the promise? If you build your house upon the rock, what will happen? And it fell not. Church family, this is Christ's promise, sealed in the Word of God. If you build your life upon His Word, your life will not be utterly cast down. It will not fall into disaster. Let me say once again, if you're facing trials, it does not mean you have not built your life upon a rock. Remember, both of these situations face the storm. They face the wind. They face the rain. But the reality is, many Christians live their lives in an absolutely disastrous way, continually falling because they haven't built their lives on the Word of God. That may be us this evening. You see, Christ is saying we must build our lives according to His Word. Now, you might say this evening, well, Pastor, I'm saved. Salvation is not the rock. Amen? Yes, we need to be saved, but Christ isn't talking about salvation. He's not saying if you are saved, you won't fall. No, saved Christians can fall greatly. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm in church. I'm in church. Well, church is not the rock either. Church is not the rock. You might say, Pastor, I'm hearing what the Lord is saying in His Word this evening. Well, notice the Lord says in verse 24 that hearing is not good enough either. Hearing is not the rock. He said, if you hear the Word of God and you need to do it. Amen. That means we need to live according to the Word of God in order that our lives will stand and that we will not fall. That is a wonderful promise of God. He's given it to us. The question is, will we claim that promise? When we open the Word of God, well, let me take a step back. Do you open the Word of God? You might say, yes, Pastor, I'm going to stand, I'm going to be right, I'm all good, but if you don't read your Bible, you're not building your house upon a rock. You're not building on anything except a weak and shallow foundation. You're building upon the thoughts of the world. You're building on your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own feelings. You're building on the world's values. You're building on the world's traditions and not the revealed Word of God. So easily we can do that and we think we're okay. But in actual fact, we're building upon the sand. Only when we build our lives upon the rock will we stand. Are you reading your Bible? And when you do, the challenge is, do we do what God says? Do we do what He says? You know, this is the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And Christ speaks about a whole range of subjects. He speaks about forgiveness. He speaks about God's standards of righteousness. He speaks about immorality. He speaks about adultery. He speaks about divorce. He speaks about our actions. And you know, there's so often we approach the Word of God, we read it, but we're not willing to say, yes, Lord, I need to make that change in my life. I need to do what You're saying. Because we all have a sinful flesh that resists it and says, well, I understand what the Lord's saying, but I don't know if I want to do it. Understand, church family, that's what leads to building our lives upon the sand. That's what the Lord is saying.
unless we actually do it, we will not stand. Unless we actually do it, we cannot claim this wonderful promise. Let me encourage you, church family, this year to build your lives right. Amen? Don't be cast down. Today is another day. Tomorrow is another day. We still have the Word of God. Amen? And God's promise is right there to encourage your heart if you'll take it. If you'll take it. Now, I'm not sure what God wants you to do in any area of your life specifically, but you know. Has there been something you've been resisting and saying no to God about? Has there been something that you're saying, well, I can't see how that will work out. I know God says I need to. I just don't see how that's going to work out. But the Lord has given us a sure prophecy. He says it will work out. You will stand. Trust me. Believe me. This is spiritual reality in 2015 and beyond. Amen. But will we choose to? Or will we fall? James 1:22, let's end with that verse in your notes. Let's read it together out loud on two. One, two. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't be deceived by the flesh, amen.
That's right.
Don't just take in what you hear and leave it be. We need to act upon the word of God. And that is the difference between hearing and doing, falling and standing. Wonderful words from the Lord, amen. Simple and yet profound for our everyday lives. Let me encourage you just to say yes, Lord, in your quiet time tomorrow morning. Whatever it costs, amen. Because the cost will be far less if we say yes than if we say no.